Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Here is an interesting one because it says, let me read it again, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now you're going to have to stick with me, bro, because I might skip onto some scriptures in a different order here today. So the interesting thing is, I want to make a point that some things perish in fire, but some things become perfected in fire. Some things perish through fire, and some things are perfected in fire. So when we talk about fire, when we talk about heat, when we talk about something that has the ability to burn something, it's not necessarily bad. It depends what's inside the fire. You see, if you get something like gold or silver and you put it inside fire, what happens is it starts to remove the impurities. All that's not pure is burnt up. And the elements that are precious are left. The elements that are of value, that is what is left. And this is what we're talking about in this scripture. It's talking about the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold and silver, though it is tested by fire. The title of the message today is Made in Fire. Made in Fire. I'm just going to run through some scriptures really quick. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all he has commanded, which I commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. That was what Moses said to the people. This is what God was saying. He's saying, look, if you would diligently listen to his voice, he will set you high above the nations. This is what he says in verse 13. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Somebody said, not the tail. I will make you the head. Say the head. Okay, so God is talking here in Deuteronomy 28 about the blessings. When you get time, go and check it out in your own time. You'll see that in Deuteronomy 28, you see blessings and you see curses. What I'm talking about today, I'm talking about the blessing. The blessing of God. See, now, it's clear when you study that scripture. Don't worry. The point that I made about the fire will make sense in a moment. You see, it's clear when you check out the blessing of God that God has the intent to bless you. God has the intent to bless every single one of you. In fact, let me put it to you like this. God doesn't want to bless you. You are blessed. You are blessed. You know, when God pronounces a blessing on something, what it is he gives it the supernatural ability to succeed. It means that whatever you put your hand to will succeed. Whatever it is that you choose to get involved in, it will succeed. That is the blessing that is upon your life. When you gave your life to God, that day when you surrendered to Christ, you became joint heirs with Jesus, and at that point, you was blessed. You stepped into the blessing. But the question is, are one's circumstances always a result of one's character? What happens when you find yourself in testing situations? Because I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when I be looking at my circumstances and I say, God, this doesn't look like no blessing to me. What I'm experiencing right now does not look like no blessing. So what does that mean then? Does that mean that the word of God is a contradiction? You see, we have to look into these things a little bit more deeper. People will take these blessings and just run with it and say, I'm blessed. It's true, you are blessed. But let's observe the scripture a little bit more. Let's get a little bit of understanding. There's a reason why I'm talking about this evening. You see, the reason being is because I feel like there's a few people who have been going through some challenges. Some people have been going through some battles. They've been going through some wars. Some people are a little bit unsure about, am I blessed? Some people are even questioning their salvation. Am I saved? Why is it that I'm going through this stuff? Like, I thought that when I got saved, that I wouldn't be going through these challenges. I didn't know that Deuteronomy 28 said, I'm waiting for my blessing. I'm wanting double. Google it. So why is it that I find myself going through this challenge? Just keep your attention over here, guys. You see, some entire books in the Old Testament canon protest against a frozen interpretation of the scripture in Deuteronomy. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are some books in the Old Testament of the Bible that make it clear that the understanding of this blessing in Deuteronomy has to be looked at a little bit deeper. Does anybody know Job? Come on now. Let's keep it real. When I look at Job's story until the end, I'm saying, brother, that did not look like you was walking in any blessing. Let's keep it real. The Bible is not the Bible's not scared of dealing with this matter. The Bible's not trying to hide this. This is what it says in Ecclesiastes 2:14-15. It says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. The same event happens to them all. This was written by Solomon, a very wise man. He's saying that, look, basically, there's some people who are wise doing the right thing. There's some people who are foolish doing the wrong thing. But at the same time, the events on earth seem to happen to both. Good things happen to good people and bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to bad people. So what is this about? You see, at first glance, it can look like the Bible is under some form of contradiction. But I want to let you know today, God's Anointed Now generation, that when you find yourself in the fire, when you find yourself going through situations that don't seem to make sense, I want you to step back and I want you to ask God, Lord, what is it that you're doing? What are you up to? Lord, what are you up to? You see, because when you start to find yourself in challenging situations, God is on the move. People see themselves in challenges, they think that God's left. No, God's involved. God is involved in the challenge. I know this might sound a little bit crazy to you, but 9 times out of 10, when you're going through the challenge, promotion is on the cards. Promotion is on the cards. You see, we can observe this in the life of Joseph. Observation of the life of Joseph. Genesis 39, 2-4 says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master in Egypt. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put under his authority. Amen. Joseph found himself in a very powerful circumstance. Remember that Joseph was the dreamer. He had the dream. He had the gift of interpreting dreams. And his brothers were not down with him. Threw him in a pit, tried to get rid of him. Sold him into slavery, disrespected him. Found himself as a slave. But then, because the Lord's hand was upon him, he got risen up out of the darkness into this position of power. Come on now, I feel a preaching coming on. How many people have found themselves in a situation where they can say, you know what? God risen me up, right up out of the dirt. Right up out of the dirt. Right up out of the dirt. Listen, when God touched me, he didn't take me into some nice little pretty garden and tell me sweet nothings. Jesus dealt with me in the grime. I was in a pain when Jesus stepped right into my painful situation. God stepped right in there, and that's where he touched me. That's where God started to do the work on my heart. That's where God started to raise me up. Very same situation. That's what Joseph was facing. Joseph found himself in a very undervalued situation. He found himself in a situation where he would look with natural eyes and say, you know what, there's no chance for me. But how many people know that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? That's how he chooses to do things. He likes when your ability is lacking. He likes when your ability is not able to get the job done. Because when you can't do it, when he does it, he gets the glory. But check this out though. Genesis 39, 7 to 10. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife, casting longing eyes on Joseph, oh boy. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all he has to my hand. There is no one greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. From then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Listen, you see, when God rises you up, when God starts to do a work in your life, when God starts to say, you know what, I'm going to take you up out of that dirt, and I'm going to make you something. I'm going to start to give you a little bit of responsibility in my kingdom. I'm going to start to rise you up from low value and start to give you value. I'm going to start to reject and rebuke the words of the enemy that he spoke over you, and I'm going to start to speak some new things over your life. The first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be temptation. The first thing that's going to happen is there going to be temptation. There's going to be the opportunity for you to sin. You see, Joseph was unwilling to compromise his relationship with God. Even though Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph with assurance that her husband would not be the wiser of what would take place. Potiphar's wife was saying, look, he's not going to know what happens. We can do this thing on the low low. Come on now. Some of you are thinking, oh, low low. Yeah, low low. Let me tell you something that you need to understand about this situation. God's anointed now generation, the only way you are going to last through this test is if the reason why you do the right thing is not for the honor and glory of man, but for the honor and glory of God. That is the only reason. Your life is supposed to be governed by the fear of God. That means that when nobody's watching, that means that when nobody knows what it is that could be even conjuring up in your heart, you have to be saying, look, I'm going to do the right thing before my God, because it's my God who I serve, and it's my God who I'm going to stay in right standing with in this situation. That was the reason why he had passed through this testing situation. Gang, we need to make sure that we are keeping our word life and our prayer life at the cutting edge. There has to be the word life and the prayer life at the cutting edge. Because when you have tests that come into your life, when you have challenges that come into your life, when you have temptations that come into your life, how are you going to know how you're supposed to respond? How are you going to even identify Satan when you don't know what the Lord looks like? You need need to be in the Spirit. If you aren't reading your word, if you're not praying, then believe me, you don't know if it's flesh or spirit. You don't know if it's flesh or spirit. You know, the joke of the matter is the Bible is free. The Bible's free. I don't get it. I'm addicted to the Bible. Straight up. That's my wife. I am a Bible addict. Straight up. Because it's free though. Like the word of God. I can pick up the word of God anytime. Are you crazy? Anytime. I can just pick up God's word, you know, God's word. God's word. Are you mad? People don't get me, man. I'm telling you. I'm talking about God, you know. Not some famous, like, scientist. God, though, the creator. I could pick up his word. People have got it twisted. Oh, my goodness. When the temptation comes, how are you going to know how to respond? You need to be full of the word of God. Full of it. Full of the word of God. This is what it says in James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, we need to hear the word of God, and then we need to respond with obedience. The other flip side of it is those people who can quote scripture back to back but do not apply a red cent of it. That is just as bad. That's just as bad as having the word, which is free of charge, and never ever soaking it up. Now you're a person who has the word, you have it right there, but you don't apply it. It's pointless. You see, when you read in the word of God, what's happening is like looking into a mirror and seeing the perfect image of yourself, but then recognizing the impurities of the real thing, and then having the opportunity to put it off. That's what reading the word is like. It gives you the moral standpoint, the basis by which you make your decisions. So if you're not reading your word and you're not in prayer, then more than likely, you're just going off track. You see, Joseph found himself, after being risen up, in a place of temptation. But then after the temptation comes, there's a harder test sometimes that we face. You see, not only did Joseph find himself in a situation where he was accused of rape, but he found himself locked up though. Locked up for that. Okay, so let's go back to the blessings, hey? Was Joseph not walking in the blessing? I thought our God was a blessing God. So why did Joseph find himself in the jail then? Matter of fact, let's think about it. Let's go back to the very start. God gave a vision to Joseph. He gave him a vision. And the next thing you know, Joseph found himself dashed in a ditch and sold into slavery. So we've got dashed in a ditch. We got sold into slavery. We got put in jail. Does that sound like double blessing? That's not sounding like no double blessing to me. But check this out. When he found himself in the jail. Now remember the first time, when he found himself in a tight situation, he started to apply his gifting. The gifting was that he had the ability to interpret dreams. And because of that, the favor had risen him up to a place of power. But the funny thing is, in Genesis 40, 22 to 23, we see a very different situation. After he was accused and found thrown in jail, there was two other people who were thrown in jail also. And basically what happened was, is they had a dream. Joseph interpreted them dreams once again. He applied the gift. And when the dreams were interpreted, one of them got killed. And the other one got taken out of the jail, as Joseph had said. But the deal was that if he would interpret it, that because he's interpreted it, that he would get some favor amongst those who have power and that he would get released from the jail. But when the guy left the jail, he forgot about Joseph. He didn't even care. He just took the blessing and kicked out. This reminds me of those situations where you find yourself in challenge and absolutely everything that you try doesn't seem to work. All the old things don't work no more. Sometimes you're in a place in life where the tactics of the old season will not work in the new season. The things that you could use last time don't work no more. This is why it's a key thing to have a moving relationship with God. Your relationship with God shouldn't be based on when it all started 2 years ago. Your relationship with God should be based on the now experience with your Father from in heaven. Because that's where you'll get the insight. That's where you'll get the understanding of what it is that is taking place right now. Because you see, the situation is Joseph could have looked and said, well, this don't make sense. Because I've been interpreting dreams, the favor of God's been on my life, and he's been rising me up. Now I'm interpreting them, and they're shutting the door. What's going on? You see, what it is when you find yourself in these circumstances, God is deciding that he wants to start to do a work in you, rather than just doing a work on you. You see, everybody wants the power of God. People want to see miracles. People want to see people healed. People want to be, you know, the man of power or the woman of power for the hour. But before God wants to do things through you, he wants to do things in you. You see, what God's going to start to do in them seasons when it gets a little bit dark, what God's going to start to do when you think it's all simple, hairy, fairy blessings, but then you find out there's a little bit more to this story, is God wants to start to work on your integrity. This is when God starts to really sculpt the character. You see, when you find yourself in persecution, that's when you will find out if what you believe is steadfast. Is it steadfast? I could quote it, I said I believed, but now it's getting difficult, and this difficultness, I can't foresee the end. Am I steadfast in what I say I believe? This is where your loyalty will be tested. What is it that you claim your allegiance to? Are you really allied to this vision and this mission that you say that you're on? God wants to do a work inside of you, see? One of the major challenges for people is when God challenges the consistency of their values. The consistency of your values. You can see this when God raises you up into a situation, he raises you up into a high point, then you find yourself in a pit. You see, all the good stuff you taught before, when you was dancing around on the stage and all that, at the front, hands up in the air, everything was jiggy then. But what about now when everything seems to be falling apart around you? What's your values now? Are you still holding to those values? You see, what God wants to do, God wants to start to expose the dirt. Remember when we was talking about the fire? Remember when we was talking about how gold, when it's in the fire, it does something a little bit different than if you throw paper in the fire. Paper just burns, but gold, it starts to be purified. The filth starts to raise to the top so you can get rid of that. You see, now God sees some deep things in your heart. You confront before me. You confront before the leaders. You confront before man and woman, but you can't front before God. You can't walk up and play the holy card before him. He looks straight into your heart and he knows your flaws. And what he will do is he will put you in the school of life. And you will find yourself walking through the fire. Because God wants to do a deep work in your character. You see, the first time when God raised you up, you might have held to some values. But let me tell you that there's a good chance that you might have held to them values because you was looking for a position. You might have held to them values because you saw a bit of a doorway and you was looking for a position somewhere to be perched. You saw an opportunity and said, you know what? I can climb into that role right there. If I just do these things and that thing. And listen, the reason why you was doing what you're supposed to be doing is because you fear the Lord only. You see, now you find yourself in a fire. Now we're going to find out your motives. This is where the motives start to become made plain. Somebody say process. The next thing is obedience. In this season, that's where God starts to really check your obedience. He wants to check that you not only understand what it is. Well, first of all, not only that you have the ability to receive what it is that he's saying. The second thing is that you have understanding of what it is that he's saying. But the final thing is, are you going to be obedient to what it is that he's saying? God can't have no willy-nilly representatives. He can't have no willy-nilly representatives. If you want to be in a position where God wants to use you, he has to know that he can trust you. Even the young ones, God will be doing it with you in the school. You say that you believe in Christ, you say that you're committed to the Lord, then you find yourself in school and all your friends are trying to diss Jesus. Your friends are dissing Jesus now. Now what? Are you going to partner with them or are you going to stay and say, no, excuse me, I believe, you say what you want, but I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He died for my sins, and I'm not going to deny it. You see, one thing I observe with kids who get used to do powerful things in the kingdom of God, these are the kids that are unashamed. I've seen there's different types of kids. There's some kids that are unashamed of the gospel. And those kids that have that fire, you can see that fire. Those ones that are like deep down unashamed. And you see God do something with those kids. He raises them up and brings them to a place because those are the leaders. You see, the thing is, leadership is not just about influence. Leadership is not just about influence, because godly influence is more about what are you influencing him with? Where are you taking him to? And you can only produce what you are. You can only produce what you are. So when you see young people and they're on fire for God, you know that God is going to raise them up and he's on the move. You see, finally, after Joseph had gone through the process, we find a situation in Genesis 41, 39 to 41, and it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to you. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. You see, the thing is just remember that Joseph, he started off just over the house. The first thing is he was just over the house. Now, gang, I don't know where each and every one of you are right now, but I want to let you know that God wants to elevate you to a brand new level. God wants to elevate you to a brand new level. You've not seen what God wants to do in your life. You've not seen it yet. You don't, your mind cannot even perceive it. You don't understand the level that he wants to do. You are your own limitation. God wants to take you to a new level. Do you know why? Because he loves you with a raging love. You don't even understand. You can't even understand the godly love that he has. He wants to take you to a whole new level. Just like Joseph, he found himself in a situation where he was over the house. He was the housekeeper. It was all good. He had it locked down. But God wanted to take him and put him over the whole of Egypt. That's where he wanted to put him. But you see, the thing is he couldn't put him there straight away. He couldn't place him there straight away because he had to be tested. He had to be tested by fire. He had to be tested by trial. You see, there's too many people who want to just excel to some sort of a position. Some people just want to excel in their business. Some people just want to excel in ministry. But listen, God knows that there's some people that if he was to answer your prayer and put you in that position straight away, you'd be gone. Boom, the money hit the bank, what you asked for, gone. Never seen him again in the church. Straight up. Or they got in that position in ministry, pride risen up. That person turned ugly. So what God does is he puts you in the school of life and he starts to work on the character. So when you find yourself in these tests, when you find yourself in these challenges, when you find yourself in situations that are challenging you, you have to ask yourself, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're doing in my life? Because God is working out a process. And you have to be faithful to that process. You can't just walk around the process. You can't think to yourself that, you know what, if I skip it, that's gone. No, don't work like that. That's why the people of God found themselves 40 years in the wilderness, getting Egypt out of the system. 40 years getting Egypt out of the system before they could cross over into the promise. Listen, how many promises does God have for you? How many promises do we have in this room? How many promises has God spoken to individuals? Some things that you might not even have told nobody. Just God has spoken to you while you're at the altar. God has shown you while you're reading a scripture. God has spoken into your life promises. And there's so many of them. Because God wants to elevate. But how many of us are willing to go through the process? How many of us are willing to say, Lord, you know what? When I see that part of me that you do not agree with, I'm going to put that thing down. When I see that part of me that's not holy, that's not right,
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.